Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today I'm joined on the show by architect Richard Gage. Richard is a San Francisco Bay Area architect and member of the American Institute of Architects, and he's the founding member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Mr. Gage became interested in researching the destruction of the World Trade Center high-rises after hearing the startling conclusions of a reluctant 9/11 researcher, David Ray Griffin, on the radio in 2006. This launched his own unyielding quest for the truth about 9/11. Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth now numbers 2,187 architects and engineers demanding a new investigation into the destruction of all three World Trade Center high-rise buildings on 9/11. Richard Gage, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Cheryl.
You know, Richard, I recently realized that one of the reasons why some people won't look at the mountains of evidence for an alternative narrative of what happened on 9/11 that the 9/11 Truth Movement has compiled and documented over the last 12 years is that they don't really understand what it's all about. I think they have a really simplistic view, and many of them say to me, like, you think that the planes didn't hit the towers, and so this don't really get it, where we're coming from. So I wondered if you could speak to the evidence that you've gathered over the years about the Twin Towers and people's resistance to it.
Sure. People need to first understand that there's a strong reason that 2,000 architects and engineers are demanding a real investigation, and that the reason, the primary reason, there are several reasons, is that there is very strong, overwhelming scientific forensic evidence that all three of these skyscrapers were destroyed with explosive controlled demolition. There's evidence of explosives, or I should say incendiaries, at the base of all three towers. So when we go through this information today, that's what we're focusing on. Not whether planes hit the buildings or not, not who was in those planes or what planes they were, or what fires can and can't do to structural frame systems of these buildings, but that incendiaries and or explosives are responsible for their destruction. And that's what I'm looking forward to sharing with you, that evidence.
That's great. And maybe you could talk a little bit about that. So how do we know that incendiaries were involved in these collapses?
Yes. In the case of the Trade Center Twin Towers, we have molten iron pouring out of the South Tower 10 minutes prior to its collapse. NIST is the National Institute of Standards and Technology. They tell us that this is melted airplane, but molten aluminum does not glow bright orange and yellow, even white, as it's pouring in daylight conditions. We have evidence of previously molten iron spheres in all the World Trade Center dust. Up to 6% of the dust is composed of molten iron. That's incredible, because these are spheres, so they're formed during the explosive event where pressurized force is used to aerosolize molten iron. Well, molten iron is the byproduct of the incendiary thermite. Thermite is used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. So we know, due to its chemical analysis, that it's the same material as the result of a thermite, controlled thermite experiment. We also know that these spheres come also from the very same chips, red gray chips that are found in the World Trade Center dust samples, all of them. Red on one side, gray on the other, about a 16th of an inch long. And these chips, which are analyzed and documented by a small team of scientists led by Niels Harrit in Copenhagen, these chips contain what? The small nanoparticles of iron oxide and aluminum powder. in a perfect proportion to become thermite. They are set in an organic bed of oxygen, silica, and carbon. When heated to about 420 degrees centigrade, about 800 Fahrenheit, they ignite, producing the same molten iron spheres that are found by the U.S. Geological Survey in all their World Trade Center dust samples. So this is really quite incredible. It is direct evidence of incendiaries, and these chips, which comprise about 10 tons in all the World Trade Center dust by extrapolation, and the spheres comprising about the same amount, 10 tons or so of these previously molten iron spheres. This is not publicized by NIST. In fact, it's completely ignored, as are the evidence of explosions and the eyewitness testimony by hundreds of first responders and news reporters of all of these explosions, like a belt going all the way around the towers, they say. This is completely omitted from any of the official reports. And we see the evidence of those explosions in the laterally free-flying debris traveling laterally 60 miles an hour, clocked by physicists, and landing up to 600 feet away. And these are trailed by thick pyroclastic clouds, indicating the ends of these structural steel sections are some weighing 4 tons, are burning. So this is incredible. We also have the behavior of the towers themselves, where there's a sudden onset of destruction after first responders hear all of these wrapping all the way around the building, like a synchronized, deliberate kind of thing, is a quote from several of them. And the sudden onset downward is without any large jolt, like we might expect in some kind of gravitational collapse. No, the structures having to be removed all at once to facilitate a near free fall acceleration straight down in the first 4 seconds. The top block, which we're told drove the rest of the building down, is destroyed in each case, north and south tower. After that, these explosions are wrapping down the face of the building almost as fast as the freely falling debris, and symmetrically straight down to the ground, such that each tower shattered in 12 seconds, leaving not a pile of 110 stories at the bottom of either tower, but only a two-story pile of core columns, perimeter columns, etc., and a massive 1,400-foot diameter debris pile of structural steel and other debris, including, of course, 90,000 tons of concrete powder.
Richard, you've been researching this now for about 8 years. Is there any doubt in your mind at all, based on the scientific evidence, that this was controlled demolition?
No, no. And most everybody who actually takes the time to look at the evidence on our website, which is ae911truth.org, that's AE for Architects and Engineers for 911 Truth, ae911truth.org, and looks at our DVD, which is 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. By a show of hands, those people who look at our presentation or have a chance to see the DVD, but at the presentations, 98% on average of the audience end up agreeing with us. And I'm talking about those who were unsure or agreed with the official story beforehand.
So it's really about being exposed to the evidence. And then when people actually open themselves up to that, then they see what's really going on.
That's correct.
And then there was World Trade Center Building 7, which you kind of also talked about there, which was not hit by a plane. And the collapse of it was even announced prior to its actually collapsing. Do you want to add anything about that?
Well, this is a 47-story skyscraper that's easily the tallest building in most of our states. And yet at 5:20 in the afternoon, it drops like a rock straight down into its own footprint, just about, and at freefall acceleration. This is as fast as a bowling ball falling off the side of the building. The building had 40,000 tons of structural steel. Something happened all at once to 80 columns on each of 8 floors, at least. because that's the distance it fell at free fall, to remove those columns all at once. Of course, that can only be done by explosive-controlled demolition, and in conventional controlled demolitions, they use shaped cutter charges with high-energy explosives on the thousands of columns and beams in the building. And in this case, because that would provide a very loud audio and visual signature, it appears that they used thermite cutter charges, which were patented prior to 9/11, and would have left pools of molten iron, which indeed was seen and documented by first responders, even by the World Trade Center engineer, structural engineer himself, Leslie Robertson, who saw a pool of a little river of steel flowing, and by many of the cleanup companies, the president of which, Peter Tully, described literally a pool of molten steel. So in Building 7, FEMA also documented very carefully the beams that suffered very high temperature corrosion, actually melting, invasion of the steel by molten iron. Again, molten iron is the byproduct of thermite. And there is also sulfur corrosion attack on the steel, and no known source of the sulfur at the ends of these steel beams. Professor Barnett called them partially evaporated. Well, this is not done by normal office fires, not done by diesel fuel, which was not a component of this building's destruction, according to the official story, nor was the few beams that caused some structural damage to the building, because they say the initiation of collapse was done on the other side of the building from the structural damage, and such initiation was caused by, quote, thermal expansion due to the large raging fires, beams expanded on the east side. So that can't happen, though, because those fires were shown to have been out prior to this building's collapse and could not have caused the uniform, symmetrical, free-fall destruction of this massive building the size of a football field every floor, and yet straight down into its own footprint. No, nobody buys this when they see this. But we did not see it in the media because it was not played for us.
Now, you've done extensive research, and on your website, I want to encourage people to check it out, especially if they're new to the 9/11 truth movement.
All the scientific evidence and analysis is there with videos, and it's just really well done. So I encourage people to check it out and get copies of the two movies you've made.
Also, let's talk cover-up for a moment. Now, I know the 9/11 Commission report did not mention Building 7. They didn't mention explosives, and I know that
a local reporter here for the Hartford Advocate, Jennifer Abel, back in 2007, contacted NIST and asked them if they had looked for
signs of explosives, and they said no, they were wasting their time to look for something that they knew wasn't there. Just wondered if you could speak to that, and I know your organization is trying to get NIST
to do an accurate report.
Maybe you can tell us about your efforts there.
Well, NIST acknowledged that they never looked for explosives after claiming that they never found them. I mean, first they try to get away with saying, well, we didn't find evidence for explosives. And later they acknowledge in writing that they never looked for them. So this is a deception. It's one of many, many exposed deceptions that we take on in our DVD. We have also a legal effort to engage NIST in truth-telling, because one of the things they do to try to prove their theory of collapse, initiation of collapse at column 79 by this thermal expansion by these raging fires, which weren't even there, is to ignore specific structural elements in the steel framework, which were shown on the steel shop drawings, but they remove, allowing them to conveniently claim that the structural steel system failed. And then the girder got pushed off of its seat on column 79, allowing one floor to fall on another, et cetera, et cetera. They're saying that the inside of this building is completely gutted, or nearly so, and before the building then completely collapses, which makes no sense whatsoever, because if the interior of this building were failing like their computer model shows, there would be massive deformation on the exterior perimeter structure, the breaking up of the granite panels in a huge way, and windows, of course. None of this happens. The building just simply drops like a rock. So any architect, any engineer, anybody else with an open mind will see this immediately, and that's why we are going across the country to national architect conventions like Chicago in June 26th, where we have an evidence booth and we show the architects the evidence of Building 7 and the Twin Towers. We give them the DVDs, the brochures. We ask them to sign our petition. We always get 100 signatures more on our petition when architects actually take the time to look at Building 7. They end up calling for an investigation.
Now, I know you have attorney William Pepper, who wrote a letter to NIST and asking for a response on some of the points that, you know, you're challenging them on. Have you had a response from NIST?
Yes, NIST says, we think our report is fine, please go away.
Oh.
Yeah, and that just happened. And so we're not going away. We have every intention of pursuing this effort of truth-seeking and truth-telling on the part of NIST. But we have some legal opportunities at our disposal, which we're evaluating right now.
So I know you just went on a speaking tour across Canada, and it sounds like you had a good media response there. And are you optimistic about the future? Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Well, I have to be optimistic about the future because the alternatives are very, very disturbing. If they, whoever they are, can get away with planning and executing this mass deception and mass murder, and which caused, of course, the invasion of two countries in which a million people have perished, and the loss of our civil liberties and the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, and $4.5 trillion spent on the global war on terror, and all of it is based on a scam, then we believe that the American people have to know about this. And if they don't, then what else are these people, if we can call them that, capable of? And where are they going with their agenda of shutting down our civil liberties? Because obviously, if that wasn't the result of 9/11, then it was an agenda that they were seeking by executing 9/11. So the serious issues at the top levels of our government, obviously, because Al-Qaeda didn't have access to these highly secure buildings. So this is some sort of an inside operation which requires the cooperation of the Air Force, the military, top levels of government, industry, the air traffic control, etc. So we absolutely have to succeed. The tour through Canada was very hopeful because we now have 50 Canadians from coast to coast as a result of this tour indicate willingness to run for Parliament on the 9/11 truth issue. That's never happened
before. That's great.
They have enough to start their own party.
Wow.
So I would like to see greater success in the mainstream media. We did get the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation to give us a very positive, fair and balanced interview, and 12 other media interviews giving us access to millions of Canadians last month. So we hope to achieve similar results as we have in the past with a 33-city tour when we premiered 9/11 Explosive Evidence Experts Speak Out, where 43 technical professionals in their field, including architects and engineers, structural engineers, metallurgists, chemists, physicists, controlled demolition experts, all lay out the evidence in this DVD.
Yeah, I know that you've been lobbying Congress members of your group and given them the documentation, the movies, etc. What's their response been?
Well, we have had what we would consider a successful response from Jim Himes of Connecticut, who actually wrote NIST and said, hey, well, what about this evidence for nanothermite? Of course, NIST writes back and says, well, we looked at that, and there's aluminum in the building, and there's steel in the building, which has iron in it, so we ruled out evidence for explosives. Don't worry about that, Mr. Congressman. Go back to sleep. Everything's okay here, kind of letter. And we were unsuccessful in getting Congressman Himes to follow up, and we have had very little success with others. This is a third rail, if you will, for politicians. It's not a popular topic. It's a very sensitive topic. It's a non-topic. It is something that we don't talk about. 9/11 is full of pain for most Americans, and the country and its leadership and the media certainly do not want to go there. So this is an uphill battle for those of us in the 9/11 truth movement, and I'm shocked, actually, that it's taken 13 years almost for us to get the little progress that we have. But we will never give up, and we think that eventually here there'll be enough people aware that all of a sudden something will break and it will just have to begin to flow over the dam at that point.
Yeah. Do you see anything coming from the rest of the world, perhaps, to blow this open?
I can only hope. I don't see, other than Canada, as we just spoke about, I don't see major movements. Every major metropolitan area has a few 9/11 truth activists, and usually they're doing something on the 11th of every month to enlighten their fellow citizens about this. But it is startlingly a limited number of people, and absent a catalyzing and catastrophic event that wakes people up, I'm not sure when we will achieve the awareness results we're looking for.
Well, I have to say, just in, you know, I do tabling at different events, and I do see more receptivity in people, and people actually coming up to me now asking for information. And so I do see a shift. Maybe you obviously need more, but I'm a little bit optimistic about that. And I think maybe the whole thing with Snowden and his revelations that we're all being spied on, and, you know, all of our phone conversations, et cetera, has made people more open to it. Have you had any sense of that?
Yes, I do. I have to acknowledge that too, Cheryl, because I'd say about 50% now these days, this year, last year, the year before, 50% of the people are that I talk to, and I'm talking to people everywhere I go all the time, not just in presentations, but on the street and the bus, et cetera. They're aware or very open to listening. Whereas before, it was, you know, like maybe 20 or 30% only. The problem that I see is that while they are curious, they don't seem curious enough to go and actually watch, take action to watch the DVD or to talk to a lot of other people like you and I did when we found out about this information.
Right.
For me, it was obvious that I had to do everything in my power because I'm living in a false world where people are running around believing that up is down and down is up, and I have no other choice but to illuminate them as to the truth about 9/11, which is the truth about a lot of things, as it turns out, that are wrong,
right.
That are deceptions in our society.
Right. They'll continue to do these kinds of things if they get what they want out of them. So
that's right. Yeah. Giving them carte blanche permission to do God knows what else to us, and they're doing it.
Right. And of course, they have the corporate media doing their propaganda around it, so they're very successful at it. Now, Richard, what can the listeners do to help out?
Well, everybody can do something, and it turns out to be very simple. So the first thing I recommend people do is send the ae911truth.org link, or the simpler version of our website, which is rethink911.org, to everybody on their mailing list. And that's a great way to illuminate friends, and you will lose some of them. Some people do not like this message, and they won't like you sharing it with them. That's reality.
And we've all had that experience.
Yeah. And especially architects, engineers, professors, scientists, elected representatives, media representatives. This can be done from our own home, and almost everybody has a computer. So there's no excuses not to do something as simple as that. You can write a little introductory paragraph. Look what I came across. What do you think? It's not even threatening. You can simply ask people, hey, I came across this. What do you think? Are all of these 2,000 architects and engineers conspiracy theorists? That is a simple question to write. That way you're not even on, you don't have to be on the defensive. You're simply asking a question, asking people to help you solve this little problem you found.
And anything else they can do? I know you have a lot of volunteer opportunities at your website.
Oh, indeed, yes. After people realize that they've sent this out to their email list and they're ready for the next step, of course people can hand out literature in the streets. You can have a banner. You can get together and form a local action group, AE911 Truth Action Group, or become a local contact by clicking on Take Action on our website. And we do have volunteer opportunities, of course, at AE911 Truth. We need lots of assistance with the 20 teams that we have, including writing, website, graphics, marketing, all kinds of opportunities, verification of our engineers and our architects. Yeah, you bet.
And I want to also suggest that people get copies of your two movies, Blueprint for Truth and Experts Speak Out, and put them on their local cable access stations. That's a possibility, correct?
Yes, and those are available on our website, too, in our online store. And our website, of course, is ae911truth.org.
And Richard, what are some of the projects that your organization, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, is currently working on?
Well, we have a number of evolutionary projects. For instance, the Rethink 9/11 campaign, where we put billboards all across the country and around the world in 11 major metropolitan areas, $400,000 and more of billboard advertising, including 50-foot-high billboard in New York Times Square in New York for 2 months. We're going to carry that campaign into the digital realm on YouTube, where people who are going to watch a YouTube channel will see Building 7 going down before they get to watch their video of their choice in an ad. And they'll have the opportunity to gawk at it and realize that happened on 9/11, the afternoon of 9/11, not having been hit by an airplane, and then they can click and learn more. So this is a fundraising opportunity we're having. Again, we're going to Chicago June 26th to 28th at the largest convention center in the world in Chicago. I'm for the American Institute of Architects National Convention. And we're also speaking at the United We Stand Festival in Los Angeles on May 10th with Ben Swan, Marion Williamson, a candidate for Congress on the Truth Platform, and numerous other high-level musicians and speakers, including Abby Martin, who will be there from Russia today, and many, many others from freeandequalelections.org is the sponsor, originator of this event, producer.
Yeah, that sounds like a really great event, and I think it was great. It's a multi-issue event that they included 9/11 Truth in it. I think that's really a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah. But Richard, unfortunately, we're almost out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners before we pause?
Yes, don't sit on this information, people. This is really the domino. The 9/11 Truth issue is the lead domino that starts the other ones falling for most people. It's so obvious, so powerful, so impactful, had such an incredible effect on so many realms of society around the world. It all goes back to 9/11, all these changes we've been talking about. If we can expose 9/11, then the whole rug of all the other deceptions, the rabbit holes, get exposed, and it's an amazing wake-up call for Americans and people all around the world. So do something. Get this link out.
Yeah, really good message. Richard, I want to thank you again for being on the show, and really thank you for all that you've done. I think the 9/11 Truth Movement would be very different without you, so I really want to thank you for all you've done.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's really my honor.
And again, you were just listening to a recent interview with architect Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And again, their website is ae911truth.org. I encourage you to check it out. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.